tonight. So I'm going to start with something a friend of mine told me today. So this has been a difficult 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago, Tony was like, "Hey, do you want to preach on that thing that you shared with me?" I was like, "Yeah, okay, cool." And it's been a journey for 2 weeks. And today, even, I was like, "Should I wear long pants or should I wear short pants?" And I kid you not, I literally was like, "Lord, what should I do?" I didn't actually know. And so I thought, go with short pants. Now, I've traveled through Nigeria. I've cycled Africa. I know Africa. In Africa, short pants means I'm a child. If you don't know that, you're not from Africa. If you do know that, you're from Africa. So I know that I'm standing before you with shorts on because I'm hoping that I will preach a childlike faith to you. So this is a prophetic action to show you I can be a child, but a childlike faith is what God wants. So I'm now going to start. So that was 5 minutes just to start with. I got something over Christmas. We went camping, and it was amazing. I love camping. I tend to read the Bible for longer times when I'm camping because there's nobody to phone me, I don't have to fix something, pick up a child, drop off a child. I don't have to, whatever it is, I don't have to do that thing. And so I'll just read the Bible. And I don't read the Bible to study and take notes. I just read the Bible. And what happens is I tend to start reading faster. And I get faster and faster and faster until I can't catch myself. And then I'll miss a scripture. And then I'll go back. And I'll go, okay, what did that scripture tell me? Because I missed something there. What was it trying to tell me? So John 11, don't put it up yet, don't. John 11, 16. For those that do have Bibles, I'm going to let you page there. John 11, 16. So context is the disciples are with Jesus. They're somewhere near the Jordan. They were in Judea. They've just kind of escaped arrest. The Jews were about to arrest them and stone them, right? They've gone to the Jordan. Now Jesus finds out that Lazarus is sick. He waits 2 days. Then he says to the disciples, okay, let's go back to Judea. And the disciples go, whoa, hold on. Whoa, we just got arrested, almost got arrested, almost got stoned to death. Why are we going back? No, Lazarus is asleep. They're like, it's fine. He'll wake up. It's fine. And then Jesus says, no, he's dead. We're going back to Judea. So if you can put up John 11, 16. Now this scripture caught me. Because this is not what I have read in Scripture before. I've read it, but it hasn't hit me. So Thomas, called the twin. So for those that don't know, there were 12 disciples. We probably know 4 or 5 of them fairly well. John was close to Jesus. Peter was feisty and full of fire. Matthew, the tax collector. We kind of know a few of them fairly well. But Thomas, only in the book of John do we actually hear about Thomas. Now, who of you have ever heard about Thomas? I'm going to be interactive. Put your hand up. Yes, you've heard about Thomas. Now, the question is, who of you have heard of about Thomas, doubting Thomas? Yes, there's actually an English saying. Shane. There you go. That's Irish. There's actually an English saying that don't be a doubting Thomas. So this scripture put me on my back. Because Thomas, now, let's go back to Judea. The 12 go, whoa, no, let's not go back. And Thomas says, let us also go, that we may die with him. That's not the Thomas I know. Let us also go, that we may die with him. I read it 3 times. The 4th time I was like, okay, it is actually what I read, but it doesn't make sense. Because Thomas is doubting Thomas. Who the heck is this guy? It didn't glitch, 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 computer, click, click, click. So here we have a Thomas that's passionate, full of faith, willing to die. We're going to skip to John 20, 27. Don't put it up yet for the people in the Bible. John 20, 27. Okay, so again, we've got the 12 disciples. Right, Jesus has died on the cross. He's been resurrected. He's revealed himself to 10, but not Thomas. Okay, Thomas is one of two that he hasn't revealed himself to. But in this instance, in John 20, 27, Thomas is there. And he says, I won't believe unless I touch Jesus. So Jesus says to him, put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Okay, so Thomas, Jordan, wants to die for Jesus when the other 12, other 11 don't. They don't want to go back to Judea. He's willing to give it all up, everything. Everybody else is like, whoa, Peter, John, all the rest are like, phew, dude, I'm not going there. Thomas says, I'll give it up. Jesus dies, and all of a sudden, Thomas is like, I'm done. I've got nothing. I can't believe anymore. I don't have faith. How can I have faith? My Christ is dead. How can I believe if he's dead? The next scripture, sorry, I didn't actually give this to you. But 28, Thomas turns around and goes, my Lord, my God. It's the greatest statement of faith that we can have. In that moment, Thomas's faith that is dead, like Jesus was dead, is resurrected by a moment with Christ. He had it. And as soon as it was gone, he was lost. He didn't have anything. And as soon as he touches Jesus again, that faith is alive. That faith is alive. It's not something we do. It's something that's birthed within us. We don't birth it within us. It is birthed within us. But our faith is tested. That's the tricky part. Because Thomas had it. It got tested. And he needed Jesus to bring it back to life. In Luke 22, verse 31. Luke 22, verse 31. For those that have got the Bibles. So, our faith gets tested. Is that a good or a bad thing? I don't want my faith to be tested. I just want to have faith. Well, it's a muscle. And those of you that go to the gym know, you got to work a muscle to grow a muscle. Pierre will know, his muscles grow. Sometimes he's in pain, but the muscles grow. Okay. Luke 22, take my word for it. It'll come up just now. Jesus prays for Peter that your faith will not fail. So Jesus is basically saying to Peter, your faith is going to get tested, but I'm praying for you that it won't fail. So faith getting tested is not a bad thing. And know that Jesus is praying for you that your faith doesn't fail. And when it gets tested, Jesus says to Peter, when you turn again, strengthen and encourage your brothers. I've got the wrong one then. 22:31. I apologize. My bad. It's in my Bible. Maybe I made notes. If anybody can find it, it's where... Aha, apologies. Okay, so our faith getting tested is not a bad thing. But when it gets strengthened, what are we supposed to do with it? Do we then go, oh, well, cool, I've got my faith again, here I go, I'm going to be... No, we're called to go out and minister to others. We're called to reach out to others. We're called to touch others. That faith is not for us, it's for those around us. Do you understand? So I've got a question. Who's ever prayed for anybody to get healed and seen the healing? Yes. Who's ever prayed for deliverance and seen the demon come out? I'm not going to look at my wife because I know she has. Who's prayed for someone in a moment of tragedy and seen their heart healed? Who's prayed for someone and led them to God and seen their light in their eyes come on? That is what our faith is for. Our faith is for those. But first it has to be birthed in us. And can I say, I'm a little bit like the Thomas, the doubting guy, for the last 2 weeks. Because I've been praying for 2 weeks, oh Lord, give me faith for this preach. Because it's hard. And today, I was like, should I wear long pants or short pants? What should I do? Wear short pants. Okay. Because it makes sense? No. Because I have faith that God's going to do something. Okay. So, faith is good. Faith is great. It gets stretched. We can give it out. But that's not actually the core of it. That's not actually the heart of it. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible. Impossible. Not slightly possible, not kind of likely, maybe we might. Without it is impossible to please Him. That's what faith is for. To please God. To please Him. And as we have it, as He births it in us, we get to do something with it. We minister to those around us. That's what faith is for, to please God. Because if we please Him, He's drawn to us. He's drawn to us, and we then walk with God. And when we pray, God, heal this person. It's not actually our prayer, I want to be honest. It's not our prayer. It's who we're praying to. It's who we are interacting with. It's who we are walking with that does the healing, that does the deliverance, that does the salvation, that does the whatever God wants to do. But He asks us, have faith in the impossible. Now, it's impossible to please God without faith, but He births it in us. Our faith gets tested. That's okay. But find God when your faith is being tested. Pursue Him. Don't pursue the circumstance. My job sucks. I should pursue my job. My marriage sucks. I should be more angry at my wife. My car doesn't work. I should kick it. I can't tithe. I should rob a bank. Or not. Sorry, that's not an actual thing. Sorry, I apologize. That wasn't in my notes. It was an add-on. Don't rob banks. You get caught, go to jail, all that stuff. So, when our faith is being tested, like Thomas, we should be seeking God. Thomas didn't so much, but he was like, until I see Him, I won't believe. We should learn from Thomas. I don't know about all of you guys. David, I struggle to relate to. Like, I always see him on the throne, crown, thousands of warriors. Peter, I'm like, yo, that oak was big. He punched more. Cut people's ears off. I don't know if I could do all that stuff. Thomas, he seems like a fairly regular guy. History says he was a carpenter or a fisherman. They're not sure. But after this, he goes to India and dies in India. He ministers to a country, and you didn't catch an airplane or a taxi or a bus. You walked. He went to India after this. You don't hear about Thomas again. But he went places because he had a revelation and the conviction of faith on his heart that Jesus is alive and he's my Lord and my God. What can we do when that is in our center? We can change people. So, the question is, how much faith should I have? How much is enough? Should I have a lot of faith? Should I have a little bit of faith? Should I have just enough faith to get me through the day? Saving faith, God saved me, so I've got faith that God has saved me, I'll go to heaven. Is that sufficient faith? Should I have the faith that every human being I see, I pray for and to drive out demons, heal? How much faith is enough faith? Well, Bible. Matthew 17, verse 20. For I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. So, the faith that's required is the faith to do that thing that you are doing. That circumstance that seems beyond you. That moment where God speaks to you and says, do this thing, walk in this. That's the amount of faith. Because it's that big. You've only got to have that much. It's not a lot, but it's that much. And once you have that, you can move a mountain. Now the question is, what's the mountain? Is it my heart? I want to say for 2 weeks, my heart has been cut and hurt. And I've gone, God, I don't know if I can do this. But by faith, I trust that you will move today amongst your people. By faith, I trust that this word will fall on fertile soil. By faith, I trust that you will bring freedom to the bound. You will bring freedom to those who do not know you. That's the faith of a mustard seed, because I don't have enough faith to think that I can do this. But I've got enough faith to think that he will. In Genesis 22, Abraham takes his son up, going to put him on the altar. He believes that God's going to raise him from the dead. That was enough faith for that moment. The woman who's with the issue of blood, pushing with the crowd through the crowd, she in that culture is shunned. She's got an issue of blood. She's unclean. She cannot come near people. The amount of faith she needs is enough to push through the crowd. What amount of faith do you need? I don't know, but ask God for that faith. It's not for you to know how much. It's for you to ask for it. It's for you to reach out to him. It's for you to touch his hem. It's for you to go, me, God, me, I want it. I want the faith. I want the faith to drive out demons. I want the faith to lead people to you. I want the faith to see healing. I want the faith, patience. I want the faith for salvation. It's for you to reach out to him and receive it. In John 21, Peter, and again, it's a long scripture. Peter's had a hard day. He's had a hard month. He's denied Jesus 3 times. Jesus has died. He doesn't know what to do. So he goes, and they go fishing. And in that moment, in that time, they've got nothing else they can do, because they don't have faith that Jesus will be resurrected. They don't have the faith that Jesus will come back. So what do? They go back to what they had before. Are we the people that go, "Oh God, Sunday was awesome. Okay, Monday. Wednesday's pretty cool. Okay, Thursday." Do we go back to the, that we have that moment, that little, as Pierre shared last week, do we visit the altar or do we live on the altar? Is that where we long to be? Because I desire to be on the altar. This week has 2 weeks has been a bit difficult because I've been cut and cut and cut. But I ask God, bring conviction to my heart that it's not just today that I feel it, but tomorrow I walk in it. And Tuesday and Wednesday, are we a people like Peter that go back to the fishing? Are we those people? And if we are, hallelujah, your faith has been tested. Well done. Your muscle's going to get bigger. You're going to be stronger. You're going to grow in glory. Why? Because of Jesus, not because of you. All you've got to do is when you see him, when you hear him, when you taste him, when you smell him, reach out to him. All you got to do is that moment. He does the rest. But you've got to recognize in that moment that he's my Lord, my God. My Lord, my God. So, John 21, Peter, fishing, catches no fish. He's a fisherman. It's what he should do. He should be able to do it very well. It's his job. What the heck? Why can't Peter catch fish? I mean, for crying out loud, his parents did it. He does it. They've got a boat. There's fish in the water. What's his problem? Well, God is wanting to stretch and grow his faith. So what does Jesus first do? Does he say, "Okay, Peter, get out of there. Come, we're going to go do something." No, he goes, "Here. Fish on that side." They catch. Oh, somebody will correct me. I think it's 153 fish or something to that effect. If you've watched The Chosen, there's a lot of fish. I know there was a lot of fish. So Jesus first shows himself. He doesn't first require something from Peter. He first shows himself to Peter. And in that moment, Peter realizes who it is. Realizes who it is. Now what does he do? Does he put on his suit and tie? Polish his shoes? Check the hair? Trim? Okay, I'm going to go see Jesus. I just need to be nice and neat. I'm just going to... No. He jumps out the boat and he's like, "I'm going to Topanga." That's in my language. That's, "Here I come, Lord Jesus." Yeah, and I've got children. So, I want to say to you, if you're being tested, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you test our faith, that it's pleasing to you, because without it, it's impossible to please you. Thank you that you're testing it. Save us by your mercy and lead us into a glorious place where we reach out and touch you. And once we see you, we call you Lord and Savior. We call on you to lead us into more faith. So, this has not been a preach for you guys alone. I've been walking this one for a little while now. And I want to say, we are children of faith. We are children of faith. We are called to have a childlike faith that doesn't require us to have everything in order. It requires us to know who our Father is. Okay. Tony?